My name is Warna Shupanas, and I'm from Grassy Knolls, Ontario. My clan is the Thunderbird, and I'm here for personal reasons, too, for my people, and because of my relatives, like my elders and my grandfather, their traps are for being destroyed on the land, our traditional land use area, and as well as their hunting opportunities is disappearing because of clear cuts, and so I'm here to speak.
My name's Rocky Strong, and I too am from Grassy Knolls. I've lived there all my life. And growing up as a kid there, that's all there was to me. It's just our traditional land use area.
My name is Chantel Swain. I'm from the Lynx Clan, and what I'd like to talk about today is about how Abitibi Consolidated is clear-cutting our traditional land use area. We as Ojibwe people, we live off the land, and they're taking that away from us, and we as youth, we're making our stand. They've just been doing so much to our people, and it's not funny no more. So then we're gonna take our stand as youth, and we're gonna walk with our elders and our adults.
I guess we can move on to maybe answer some basic questions about where is Grassy Knolls, and why is Abitibi there, and you know, just the basic like setting of background as to what's been happening there.
Grassy Knolls is about almost near the Manitoba border. It is northeast. It is about 80 kilometers northeast from Kenora. And what our community's doing is we're protecting our land from the devastation of clear cuts that Abitibi Consolidated is doing. They're simply doing more than that. They are also spraying chemicals like pesticides and herbicides that contaminate the animals and destroys our medicine plants, and they're contaminating our waters. Basically, all the animals are being poisoned by these chemicals because of the food chains that each animal, like, feed on each other. It's being passed on, and so in essence, it's being when an animal's poisoned by it, they roam around in the remaining forest, and so when they're hunted down by other predators, whatever they're preyed upon, they are infected also when they're eaten, and when they spray the chemicals on the land, when it rains, it soaks into the ground or washes down into our lakes, and it poisons or the fish and even as well like moose and deer that drink off the water and eat the weeds. And our people still eat the fish around the river systems. And it's when the chemicals go into our water system, it is being contaminated more because there is traces of mercury inside our waters. And our people they continue eating the fish and the animals that are on our land because it is our way of life. It is our way of surviving too when we don't even get that much, like, money, because all we have for like support of money is like when the welfare system. Not many of our people on our community have jobs almost 75 or 80% of the community's jobless. And so we depend on our land, and we depend on our natural resources to keep us alive in our livelihood. And what Abbotivi simply is trying to do is cut almost all the trees on our traditional land use area, that's Whiskey Jack Forest, and they are set a limit to how much trees they're cutting, but they are cutting more over their limit. Like, they simply cut almost like a mile wide of a clear cut, and they simply just spray all those chemicals throughout the whole clear cut area.
I think it's really important for the youth to, you know, to stand up, you know, say something, say what they feel from their heart, man. Because, before the blockade that happened on Grassy, you know, maybe about 4 years ago, I was like, you know, frustrated, you know, not knowing, like, I couldn't speak my language, you know, and I'd be listening to my elders and they'd be talking to me with the native tongue, and, you know, I couldn't understand, and, you know, I grew frustrated and angry about that. And just recently, once we got together, the youth, and we finally got to some word was being spread around that what was happening with Abbotivi, and, you know, coming in and taking our trees, and the animals, you know, they were disappearing, they weren't coming around our trap lines. Well, we got together, we mobilized, and we saw the first truck coming in, and we all just got onto the road, and we started yelling at that truck to go back, to turn around. And one of our warriors went up and told them that we as youth weren't going to let them through, and we were like literally laying right on the road. And it was cool to see, you know. And as soon as they turned around and they went back, and they told their other truckers that were coming in to go turn around too. And at that moment, I felt a sense of identity, like, you know, I felt right, man. I felt proud, man. I felt empowered and proud. And I'm proud to say that, you know, I'm an indigenous person. I'm Ojibwe. And what they're doing, and they're raping Mother Earth, man. And we have to stop that.
What does a clear cut look like?
Basically, when you go in a forest, it's all crowded with wildlife and it's beautiful. And imagine, like, you know, the way, like, when you go in a clear classroom, like, it's just all, like, if it's just no desks or anything, it's basically like that, but except you see the ground that's, it's all scorched up and messy, and the woods, and...
It's like a desert, almost.
Yeah.
It's like a desert.
So it's, and you see, you don't only see, like, scorched up earth, you see chopped up wood that they just left laying out the altar just to rot. They didn't even pick them up or use them. They just, I don't know why they even bothered cutting them, and they just leave them there to rot. And our people that went there and trying to pick up that wood because they thought the company wasn't going to use them. Instead, they got arrested for taking that wood, and they were charged with by the government, and it was ridiculous because. The wood is for everybody. It's just not from one corporation or for any guy that's getting, like, getting, like, making money from our resources. Wood is for everybody. It's that's what it's there for. That's what the Creator put it there for us, and that's what we depend on. And what's the point of charging someone when that wood's just sitting there, just like, basically to us it's dead, because it's no longer standing up, providing air and food for birds and even for animals to
the animals, they're, you know, they're passing us a message. We hear it too. The wolves, you know, when they howl, when the loons cry, the eagles whistle, they're telling us to, they need help. You know, their homes are getting destroyed, and that's what we're doing here. We're spreading the word, sending messages around, and all the help we can get. And hopefully try to stop this major issue on this clear cutting. Just want it to stop.
You had a teaching at the University of Toronto, and there was a map there, and it showed the areas that ABTB wants to get into, their proposed areas for clear cutting, and it's just insane. And that's not going to be all. Like, you can tell that they're planning for more to come. So how was it at way back, like when the operation started, ABTB moved into the Grassy Narrows territory and they started to clear cut? Like, how much has it been cut so far?
Our traditional land use area is about 2,000 acres, and they've cut about 3/4 of it. And their forestry management plans goes from 1999-2019, and that kind of management plan is too long to plan to cut trees on our traditional land use area. That's basically gives them enough time to cut everything. There won't be nothing left. Back then, they weren't really cutting as much, but they were just starting cutting on our lands. And so our people, our elders, and our families were resisting that. And they haven't been really successful, not really. They've just been ignored and walked over by their policies. And they tried planning court actions, but those taking the big companies such as Abitibi to court, was they had basically hardly no chance to take their case to the Supreme Court, because of 'cause they needed all the proof of what was happening there and what damages were being made. And so it was just being ignored and like even delayed, that by given a chance to set evidence into the courts, because of basically they're supported by like big top lawyers and that, and all we have is just like local lawyers, not much of a much power and support from justice government, and there's hardly no justice with us.
We've gone through a number of lawyers, and really we can't get nothing done. We found that out. We've just been wasting our funding, and it's gotten to a point where, you know, we can't do anything in the courts, so we had to do like we had to set up the blockade to, you know, to get the message across to them to say, hey, you know, that's enough. You guys are, you know, taking too much, man. And, we found that it just didn't work. I think the only way we could win is if they take us to court. I think that's the new strategy now, is to get them to take us to court. Because we won't get nothing done if we take them to court, and that's just money wasted, and we could have used a lot more with it.
Basically, with the courts and that is out of the question, where we decided to do some direct action, that's the blockade. That is the only action we can just come up with, because by taking action, you can accomplish more. That's the only way we can think of, is just to stopping them, to resist them. And we plan to stay there, even though if they get a court injunction on us. That's how much we believe that we have an inherent right to stand up for all living forms of life on Turtle Island, the natural world.
It's a peaceful demonstration, by the way. It's peaceful, and we're not going to get violence or anything either. It's a peaceful demonstration.
Plus, too, that we just want to get their attention, that we want to teach them how to take care of the natural world. We don't want to be their enemy or hurt them. We just want to be their friend and tell them what it is they're doing wrong. We just want to set out a message and say, hey, when you're doing this, you're hurting us, the animals, and the land. And basically, the chemicals you spray, you're hurting your own people too that plant the trees, because when they smell the chemicals, they get dizzy and nauseous. And that is a strong fact, that the people that work for you, are their health is in danger also. And so our people too, and even the young youth that still eat the foods like from animals and fish, are in danger of their health, because the chemicals, like I said, is being carried on by the animals when they feed on the plants and each other. And so our lives are in danger, and we basically want to just point that out, to tell you to stop doing what it is you're doing with the chemicals, and especially the clear cutting too.
Just recently, one of our elders that passed away on our reserve, we just found that out just this week today. And what she was doing, she was using our herbal medicines, and the pesticides and the herbicides that they were using, that's what caused her, you know, her passing. And she was one of the people that that encouraged the youth and the people to form this blockade. And for me, this could be a lifetime journey for me. But it's worth it, though, because it's just who I am.
Can you describe what the blockade is? Well, you've already described what it's all about, but can you describe what it's like to be there? Like, what do you actually do? Are you there all day, every day?
Some of the youth out there actually spent like 4 days out there, just, you know, the blankets and stuff. And it's on Highway 671, and if you keep going down that road, it'll be about 15 minutes from the reserve. A day out there, it's for me, it's we have a sacred fire set up, and we have a teepee, and we have some trailers, and we have a roundhouse. We have generators out there. So far, we had a lot of people come down there. We had a gathering of chiefs together around Treaty 3. And the food out there wasn't, it cost money to keep that blockade going. But we've been getting funding from other reserves, because they, for them, you know, it's encouraging them to walk with us too. And we're setting up networks across Treaty 3, and we even got some down in Toronto too. Back to the blockade, it's cold. When it first started, it was on December 3rd, and that day was like, what, minus 20, with the wind chill about maybe... all together, it'd probably be like minus 25, but that didn't stop us though. We still stood out there, stood our ground, and from there we had our elders come in, and, you know, they come and teach us like a little bit of stuff about how to fish in the wintertime. They taught us how to stretch deer hides, and the rabbit snares, how we go out into the bush and we set up snares and we snare rabbits, and that's really good rabbit soup. When I'm out there, you know, it's really peaceful. You're with nature. for us, it's like we're with their ancestors again. And what you feel from there, it's just, you know, it's such a warm feeling. It's hard to describe because, you know, I can call that place home. For me, being out in the bush, and you listen to the trees from the wind. It's really powerful, man.
It's a place to free your mind. If you have a problem, you know, just go out. It's a place to free your mind. Just get your mind off things. Just have a good time with nature.
Yeah, it's a place to escape. You know, for us youth, you know, with our daily stresses, I miss being there too. This summer we're gonna do a lot of stuff. Actually, we're not gonna just blockade the road that we're doing right now, because right now we're just doing Highway 671. But now, with the youth that we're gathering up, mobilizing. It's also, yeah, it's peaceful, right? It's going to be peaceful. And we're going to have a lot of stuff set up for the youth, so then we're going to show them how the clear cut is, how catastrophic it is. It's sickening, man. It made me angry to see, because we took a ride out there, and oh, man, it brought tears to my eyes, man. Even right now, talking about it, it's kind of hard, man. Anyways, back to the summer thing that we're going to be doing with the youth is we're going to show them around and we're going to blockade different roads. We're going to stop the clear cutting permanently. That all roads of access to our Whiskey Jack Forest and our traditional land use area, we're going to blockade it all. Because we had it, man. You guys crossed the line. The government crossed the line. They crossed it, man. And we're gonna stop you. When our ancestors signed a settlement with the Europeans, the colonization, we just the settlement was just for our white brothers and sisters to live with us, just to live off the land, with us too. And hey, what are you doing, man? you guys are clouding everything around, and you guys are taking our right, and you're just walking all over us. No more.
On the Constitution Act, it states that we have surrendered, yielded up, and cede our land. But however, our people, our elders, say that we haven't surrendered our land. We just made agreements to share the land with the settlers, as well as everybody around the world that came to our land. We agreed to have a future with them, to be able to live with them and share everything with them, and as well as to show them the beauty of our culture and how to survive off the land. And so it is to us is why they survived on our land. And so in return, we asked them to accept our approval of letting them live off our land, and to acknowledge our demands to have legal rights of our resources, and as well as our traditional livelihoods of hunting and trapping. Life in a community, and as well as out in the woods, it's a lot different in a city. We actually have a spiritual connectedness to the natural world. It's a lot quiet, and you hear a lot of you always hear a lot of the natural elements, such as wind, the animals, the birds. And it is a place to seek solitude, like to be able to be one with nature and has yourself. and it's not so noisy as it is in the city, not so crowded. The only good thing about the forest being crowded is that it's natural life. It's where we lived and existed for generations. And that's what's good about it. It supports us a lot to be able to survive on the land. And that I like to talk about the Governance Act, is that Canada is trying to enforce the Governance Act on the First Nations, and that they are trying to eliminate the authority that the First Nations have on their lands. What Canada seems they're trying to do is to eliminate the related federal obligations they have made to the treaties, that they're trying to gain dictatorial powers over First Nations people, so that we won't be able to we won't be able to resist assimilation to what they're trying to put on us. And from what the Governance Act is, if it were enforced on us, it would take away our authority, and as well assimilate us by taking away our given right to our resources, to our land, and our legal rights and financial obligations under our treaties. This is what we don't want. The Governance Act, it is something that is what we didn't agree upon. In the past, our people thought that the governments were setting upon a good future plan way of governance for us, because of we shared with our land with them. But instead, they're trying to reduce our treaty rights and our obligations to the land and to our resources.